Let's bow our head and have a silent prayer. Hallelujah, Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus, we begin our hymnal session. We first sing hymn 341, hymn 341. Verse 1. Sing the next hymn 392. Hymn 392.
Thank you.
verse 2. We shall sing the last hymn 483. Hymn 483.
Thank you.
verse 3. Thank God our hymnal sessions end here. We prepare our heart for our service. Amen.
Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for our afternoon Sabbath service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our Sabbath service. Let us sing hymn 282, 282.
To the world, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balms of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master come. To the work, let the hungry be fed, to the fountain of life that the weary be led. In the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings salvation is free. Toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master come. To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall, and the name of the Lord God exalted shall be. In the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on. Let us hope, let us march, and labor till the Master come. To the work, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. When the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shout with a ransom, salvation is free. Toiling on, let us hope, let us march, and labor till the Master come.
Let's kneel down and pray. We ask our Lord Jesus to continue to lead and guide us in our worship. Let's kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
In Jesus' name, let us continue with our study on to bear fruit upward. Thank the Lord, this is the fourth sermon session on this topic. Let us turn to John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. Let us read verse 8. John chapter 15 verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so to prove to be my disciples. Thank the Lord, today we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. Thus, what he requires, it is fruit, that we bear much fruit. And in the end, with this fruit, we are able to glorify God who is in heaven, to the extent that others, they will know the goodness of being a Christian, so that they too desire to be like us, to be followers of Jesus. Thank the Lord, we have studied six fruit. In our first session, we have studied we must bear fruit that befits or that is worthy of repentance. And the second fruit, the fruit of the words of God, or fruit from the words of God. In our second session, we have studied we must bear, thirdly, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, the fruit of sanctification or holiness. Fifthly, the fruit of righteousness. And in the third session, we have studied the sixth fruit that we must bear, the fruit of light. Now we will continue the fruit of the ministry. This is the seventh fruit that we must bear, the fruit of the ministry. Let's turn to the same chapter, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. For our session this afternoon, we will cover verse 16. Verse 16 tells us about fruit, but it points to the fruit of ministry, the fruit of the ministry. And for this sermon, we will study two points, two parts. The first one, point number A, it tells us about we being chosen and appointed. This is the upper portion of verse 16. Excuse me, upper portion of verse 16. Verse 16, upper portion. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. It tells us about being chosen and appointed. From the Gospels, we are able to know that Jesus, he went round, and initially, Jesus, he called disciples. He called people to follow him. He called the disciples. And we know from the Gospels, it tells us about the call of Peter and Andrew, James and John. The Lord told them, come, follow me. So they followed Jesus. They left everything and they followed Jesus. Thus, they became the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus told them, I will make you fishers of men. The early record, as we say, the four disciples. Then after that, in the Gospel of John tells us, Jesus also, he called Philip. Then Philip went to his good friend, Nathanael. Thus, in the end, Jesus also called Philip and Nathanael, and they followed Jesus. From then also, we know about the record, the call of Levi or Levi, in whom we know, Matthew. So initially, in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus called the disciples. But then, after a certain time, please take note, after a certain time, then from the disciples, Jesus chose and appointed 12. So take note, not as what we know in the Gospels, Jesus went and called Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Nathanael and Matthew. Don't think that they were immediately apostles. No, they were not apostles. Earlier, they were only disciples. So what do we mean by disciples? Disciples means pupil. They are student. They are a learner. And who is the teacher? Jesus is the teacher. So it is a student and a teacher relationship. They address Jesus as teacher. Let's refer to one record, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. Let's read Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus was being addressed as teacher. Also, when we say teacher, they also call him in the Hebrew, Rabbi. Rabbi. Let's refer to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 38. John chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, or some say master, "where are you staying?" All right, so when we say disciples, disciples, they are a student, they are pupil, they have a teacher. And Jesus is their teacher. He is called Rabbi. And as a teacher, what did Jesus do? Jesus taught them. Jesus taught them. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, we know this is the part of the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5 down to chapter 7. Chapter 5, we read verses 1 and 2. Chapter 5, 1 and 2. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Jesus gathered them, gathered the disciples, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Jesus was the teacher. And what is the sign? What is the sign of a true disciple of Jesus? If we say a disciple of Jesus, they follow Jesus. They are his student. He is the teacher. But now what is the sign of a true, not only disciple, but must be a true disciple of Jesus? Let's refer to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." So they must continue in the word as taught them by the Lord. Then they are the true disciples of Jesus. Thus, at the time, Jesus went around, he called the disciples and they followed Jesus. And take note, after a certain time, as we say, Jesus from the disciples, he chose, he then appointed 12 of them to be an apostle. So the apostle, they are also called the 12. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 70, the upper portion. John chapter 6, verse 70, the upper portion. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Choose you, the 12. Take note, here the Lord used the word choose. They were chosen. Alright, they were chosen. From the disciples, they were chosen. And we know Jesus, he prayed throughout the night. Jesus prayed throughout the night, and then he, from the disciples, he chose 12. Luke, let's refer this to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, there is this very clear record, 12 and 13. Luke chapter 6, 12 and 13. Verse 12. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples. All right. He called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. 14 down to 16 tells us the name of the 12. It tells us about a process. When we say apostles, what do we mean by apostles? Apostles means one sent. Alright? One sent forth. There are three requirements to be an apostle. Three requirements. We need not read, but if you want to copy down, you can copy down. The first requirement, Acts chapter 1, 21 and 22. Acts chapter 1, 21 and 22. This verse tells us the first requirement to be an apostle. They must be with Jesus from the beginning, from the time of the baptism of Jesus until the time when Jesus died, then he resurrected. They must have seen the resurrected Jesus. All right? So they must be with Jesus from the beginning and have seen the resurrected Jesus. This is the first requirement. Second requirement, they must be called by Jesus or the Holy Spirit to this office, an apostle. If you want, we have read Luke chapter 6, 13. The Lord chose them, named them apostle. They were called by the Lord, chosen by the Lord. But other verses, you can take down. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul tells us about his apostleship. And Acts 13, verses 2 to 4. Acts 13, 2 to 4. Paul or Saul and Barnabas, they were set apart by the Holy Spirit. They were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. And in the first missionary journey, they were addressed as apostles. The second requirement, they must be called to the office by the Lord Jesus himself, or later in the future by the Holy Spirit. The third requirement to be an apostle, they must be able to perform miracles, signs and wonders. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. All right? Apostle means one sent out or one sent forth, and it is with these three requirements. Thus, at that time, from John, we have read, the Lord says, "You have not choose me." All right? You have not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you. So it is the Lord who chose them and appointed them. If you look at the process to a ministry, process to a ministry, they go forth or they will pass through these few stages. Let's refer to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. This Mark tells us the same thing, the appointment of the 12. Mark chapter 3, 13 to 15. Mark chapter 3, 13 to 15. We will go through slowly. Verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. Firstly, he called to him those whom he desired. It tells about the selection process. Selection process from amongst the disciples. Secondly, and they came to him. They came to him. There is a response from them. The Lord called them. The Lord chose them. But there must be a response. So they responded. This is the second stage. Verse 14. And he appointed the 12. Thirdly, tells us about appointment. Here, it is to an office to be an apostle. Thirdly, tells us about appointment. Fourthly, to be with him. To be with him. After being chosen, appointed, now they will be with Jesus. To be with Jesus means it is a form of training and nurturing. Under Jesus, they learn from Jesus, so they were under training and they were being nurtured by the Lord. And the next one, to be sent out to preach. To be sent out to preach, here tells us about practical. They need to go out for their practical. And we know later, after Jesus sent them, they came back, they reported to Jesus. They make a reveal. They make a reveal. Verse 15. And have authority to cast out demon. Authority to cast out demon. Here tells about the support. The support that Jesus gave. Jesus told them, cast out demon in his name. This is the support given to the Lord in the practical work of the apostles. This is the process that we are able to see in relation to a ministry. One must go through the process of selection, then we must have a response. The Lord will appoint us. But before, really, we can take the role, the Lord wants us to be trained, to go through nurturing. And while under training, we must also go for practical. And after the practical work, we give report, continue to make a reveal, then in the work, the Lord will support us. So thank the Lord, in the days of Jesus, we have read Jesus chose the 12, the apostles. There was also this mobile, small evangelical team of the Lord. For example, we can read this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, 1 to 3. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirit and infirmity, Mary called Magdalene or Magdalena, and Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. This is the evangelical, mobile evangelical team of Jesus. The apostles, then we have the women, those who are, they are able to bear witness, testify for the Lord Jesus. They are living testimonies. And also people now to support the work, to provide for them, to help them, support them in the work. And we know apart from that, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70, or some say 72 others, and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. From Luke, we can see Luke chapter 6, the apostles, Luke chapter 8, the evangelical team, mobile evangelical team, and Luke chapter 10, 70. And in the apostolic church, we know we have the apostles, then Acts chapter 6 tells us about the seven. Then in the church, they have deacons, deaconesses, and elders. All these are what? It is for the work of the church, the work of the church to build up the body of Christ. All these are service to the Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, 4 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8. Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. In the body, we have a lot of members, but remember, different function. But where all these functions work together, the body will be healthy, the body will have good growth. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So remember, gifts will be given, but we just only make use of the gift, the grace given. Let us not compete with one another. Let us not compare with one another. Let us be thankful for what we have, but of course we can pursue for higher gifts. Verse 7, or verse 6, the lower portion. If prophecy in proportion to faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives it with zeal, he who does act of mercy with cheerfulness. Different areas that we can do, it is serving the same Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It tells us about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But also in the lower portion, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28 to 30. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, healers, helpers, administrators, speakers of various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all possess gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but earnestly desire higher gifts. I will show you still a more excellent way. There are different gifts today, not only gifts, but there are different areas in relation to office and office for serving the Lord. Most important in whatever we do, it must be for the building up of the church, for edification of believers. It must be done out of love. That's why Paul says, I show you a more excellent way. It is love. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Thank the Lord, all these are given for the work of ministry, so that we are able to serve the Lord. So please take note, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Today, really, there is much work. We are living in the last days. There are many challenges, but we need more laborers because the field, it is already ripe for harvest. So let us take note. Let us not only become disciples. Let us not only become ordinary followers of Jesus, ordinary believers of Jesus, but we can have aspiration. Take note. We can aspire to an office, no problem. Just like Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we can aspire, have this aspiration in us for the office of a bishop. But then we need a noble task. All this it is to serve the Lord in different areas of work. All right, so we pray the Lord guide us that we're able to respond to the Lord, to be able to be chosen, to be appointed in the service of the Lord, so that we're able to build up the church of the Lord, to glorify the name of the Lord, to be used by the Lord, so that in the end, also we can receive our reward. So this first part of John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus told them, "You have not chosen me, it is not you who chose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you." Thus, from a disciple, they were appointed, chosen and appointed as an apostle. Now we turn back John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is our second point, second part now, point B. Point B, John 15, verse 16. Let's read verse 16 again. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Then what? "That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." There are three matters here. Three matters here. Go. Then bear fruit, and then that your fruit should abide. Three matters. We quickly run through these three. The first matter, go. This is very famous. We know. Go. Where is the verse? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Verse 19. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Jesus says, go, make disciples. Verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of age." If we reflect, if we think back, Jesus called them to be disciples. Then Jesus chose them. Jesus was the teacher. They were students. Now it is the same. Jesus told them, go. Go what? Make disciples. All right, make disciples. Then what? Baptize them so that they can be in Christ. Then they must what? Teach them. Actually, it is just likened to the work of Jesus. Make disciples, teach. So the same now. They make disciples, then teach. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Go. Today we must go. We pray the Lord guide us so that we will not always just remain as believers in the church. We not only remain in the comfort of our homes, but we must go. Go out into the world. Because the world, as Matthew 13 says, it is the field, it is the working place that we must labor. All right, so go. This is the first requirement after being chosen and appointed. Not to relax, not a position. Take note, don't think that it is a position. It is a status. It is my rank. Thank the Lord, I'm chosen. And we sit down there. No, we must go, go out. Second matter, Jesus says, bear fruit. Bear fruit. This is what the Lord requires. We say, we must, this is fruit number 7. Bear fruit of the ministry. Being sent out, now we must bear fruit. Jesus wants to see fruit. So when we say bear fruit, how to bear fruit? How to bear fruit? Sitting down there, we can bear fruit? No. We say go, go out. But when we say we go out, how to bear fruit? It is fruit from labor. Take note. Fruit from our labor. Let's refer to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, 21 and 22, the upper portion. Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 22, the upper portion. If it is to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, or as in the New King James Version, fruit from labor. So how to bear fruit? It is from our labor. At the time, Paul says, if the Lord by his grace and the prayers of the believers for Paul, if the life of Paul will be prolonged, Paul says what? He will continue to live for Christ. He will continue to labor for Christ so that he can magnify Christ and that he will produce fruit for him. And this fruit, it is from what? Labor, fruit from labor. Just imagine, if today we do not labor, there will not be fruit. But if we labor, there will be fruit. So it must be fruit from our labor. This is the fruit of our ministry. When we say labor, what do we mean? Being hardworking. Don't be lazy, but we must be hardworking, just like a hardworking farmer. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. First share of the crops, it is the outcome. But before we can have a share of the crops, the first share, here says, hardworking farmer. All right? When we say bear fruit, Jesus wants to see fruit, it must be from our labor. So we must be very hardworking in the ministry. For example, we look at Paul. Paul gathered the elders of the church in Ephesus to meet him. And what did Paul told them? Let's refer Acts 20. Acts 20, 18 and 19, the upper portion. Acts 20, 18, 19, the upper portion, verse 18. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I live among you all the time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. First day, Paul says, they already knew because they were able to see Paul was with them. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears. Paul served the Lord. They knew this from the first day. Continue, verse 20. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. Paul was very faithful. He served the Lord. He served the people there. He did not withhold himself, but also he did not shrink from declaring to them anything that was profitable. He taught them where? In the public, from house to house. Verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years, a long time, for 3 years, I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul was very faithful. Paul labored amongst them. Paul was very hardworking. There was fruit to the Lord. All right? We must bear fruit. How to bear fruit? It must be fruit from our labor. Then, when we say to bear fruit through what? Bear fruit through what? It is through the truth, the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 1, 5 and 6. Verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, of which has gone to you indeed in the whole world. In the whole world means at the time, in the Roman Empire, it is bearing fruit and growing. So among yourselves, from the first day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. Thank the Lord. For the church in Colossae, verse 7 says, they learned it from Epaphras. Epaphras, he was the one who brought them the gospel. Thus, the truth, the gospel, it is bearing fruit and growing. This is what we must see today in our ministry. When we labor for the Lord, we want to see the seed germinate, then the plant able to take root, then also to grow upward, just like unto us. For example, the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said, for our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. And you know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. We want to take note upper portion. Verse 5. Our gospel came to you in not only in word. The gospel was brought to them. Chapter 2, verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it is really, the word of God. Thank the Lord, the Thessalonians, they had a very good attitude, very good conduct. They accepted the words of the Lord as what? Not the word of man, but as it is really the word of the Lord. They welcomed Paul. They heard, they accepted. And what was the outcome? The last statement, which is at work in you, believers. The word, the gospel, the truth brought forth fruit. They grew. All right, the word now in their hearts work amongst them. This is fruit from our ministry through the truth, the words of God, the gospel. And in relation to bear fruit, bear what fruit? When we say this fruit, we bring souls, take note, we bring souls to the Lord, believers and the converts, new and old fruits, new and old fruits. Let's refer to Song of Solomon. Old Testament, Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Chapter 7 tells us about the true church in the last days. The true church in the last days. It tells us about our church. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, 11 to 13. 11 to 13. Come, my beloved. This was spoken by the bride to the bridegroom. That is spoken by us to the Lord Jesus. Come, my beloved. Let us go into the fields. This field, is the church is the field. The world is the field. So now I want to go into the field. I want to do the work in the church. I want to do the work in the world. And lodge in the villages. We must come out from our comfort. She was the bride of the bridegroom, the bride of King Solomon. Should be in the palace. But now she says, come, let's go into the field, lodge in the villages. So we must come out from the comfort. Verse 12, let us go out early, very diligent, not afternoon, but early to the vineyard and see whether the vines have budded, whether grapes blossom have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I give you my love. Today we are not only to empty words, I love you, but we never do anything for the Lord. But today, when we say we love the Lord Jesus, it must be from our action. All right? There I give you my love. Where? In the field, out of our comfort, we manifest our love to the Lord. That is through our labor. All right? There I give you my love. Verse 13. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and over our doors are what? All choice fruits, all right? All choice fruits. New as well as old. New are the converts. Old are our believers. We must present new fruits, old fruits. Then what? Which I laid up for you, my beloved. Wow, I give to the Lord Jesus. This is my love for the Lord Jesus. The Lord will be very glad. The Lord will be very happy. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 13. Romans chapter 1 verse 13. Paul, he wanted to visit Rome for many times. He has not been to Rome. The church in Rome was not established by Paul. Paul heard about their faith. Thus, Paul wanted to visit them, but thus far has been prevented. He wrote to them now, verse 13. I want you to know, brethren, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far prevented. All right? Thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some fruit among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. Paul wants to receive this fruit. So thank the Lord. We must bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. In the end, we gather fruit for eternal life. We lead others to Christ. They obtain eternal life. We also obtain our eternal life. But more so in us, there will be the joy. Because in the end, we not only receive eternal life, but we will receive our reward for our labor. And the next matter, in John 15 verse 16, Jesus says that your fruit should abide. Your fruit should abide. Here tells us, whether in season or out of season, take note, whether in season or out of season, whether favorable or unfavorable condition or situation, what the Lord requires, our fruit should abide. We must continue to preach. We must continue to fulfill our ministry. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 to 5. Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuild, exhort, be filling in patience and teaching. 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own liking, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. The work is not easy. We come to a time now where people, they will not want to listen. They will not want to accept the truth. But how? Paul says, whether in season and out of season, especially where people do not want to hear out of season, we must still preach. So verse 5, as for you, always be steady. Huh? Take note, we must be steady, very firm. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We pray the Lord guide us that we can fulfill our ministry. Thus, the lower part of John 15 verse 6, Jesus told them, go, bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. And lastly, let's turn back John 15. John 15 verse 16. We read the whole verse, John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Thank the Lord today. We must aspire that the Lord chose us and appoint us. Then what? That you should go. We must go out. Go. Bear fruit. We must bear fruit in the ministry. It must be from the fruit of our labor, fruit of the gospel. And that we must bear this fruit. We bring souls to the Lord. And what is His requirement? That your fruit should abide. So in whatever situation, we must still continue to be very hardworking, to be diligent, in season, out of season. Then there is this assurance, take note, assurance given by the Lord, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Take note, ask in His name. Let's cross-reference John 14. John chapter 14, 12 to 14. John chapter 14, 12 to 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than this he will do, because I go to the Father. Thank the Lord. When Jesus goes to the Father, the Holy Spirit will be given. The Holy Spirit will be with us, abiding in us, giving us the power, the strength. The Holy Spirit will help us. So Jesus says, we will do greater works. Take note. We will do greater works for the Lord. 13. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Thank the Lord. Today in the ministry, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And whatever we do it in the name of Jesus. We do it for the glorification of the name of Jesus. May the Lord help us that we bear this fruit of the ministry. Sing hymn 281. 281. Must I go an empty hand past my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service gave him laid, no trophy at his feet. Must I go an empty hand? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him must I empty-handed go. Not at death I shrink nor fall, the fall my Savior save me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of death
now clouds my brow. Must I go an empty hand? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty hand go. All the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I gladly bow. Must I go an empty hand? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet is day. The night of death, O take thee, strive for souls, but still you may. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go.
Let's kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Must I meet my Savior's soul?
Not one soul with wish to greet him, must I empty-handed go? Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with wish to greet him, must I empty-handed go? Amen.
We thank the Lord. We end our service here. May the Lord bless and guide.